guys, welcome back to the Let God podcast. It's me, Wanipa.
Me, Mary Hannah.
And me, Ayafair.
Woo! Boom, 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 boom. So guys, this week we're back with another episode, and today we're going to be talking all about holiness. One of our lovely followers sent us a question asking kind of what holiness is, whether it's still relevant today, basically just for our two cents on whatever that means, because I think sometimes the word seems a little bit mystified, a bit far-fetched, a little bit ununderstandable, if you would. So we're going to break it down today. Thank you so much for 25,000 followers on Spotify. It's literally blowing my mind. We're so grateful to you guys. But yes, before we get into it, we're going to open with a word of prayer.
Yeah. Dear Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to talk to each other and talk to our listeners and friends. Oh Lord, we pray that as we delve into the topic of holiness and how we can be holy as you've called us to be holy, and the things that get us in the way, things of confusion, and just having a firm relationship with you. Father, Lord, we pray that you just speak through us. We know that we're not perfect and we don't have our lives together, but you just help us to be able to convey your word to your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 So, guys, today's icebreaker, MH has informed us, is a surprise. So I'm going to hand on over. We don't know what she's going to ask us, but let's get into it, I guess.
I just got some questions from the little card game. We're not really strangers, but it's the Friends edition, and they're all very kosher. I'm not doing any heartbreaking, soul-crushing stuff. This is just cute and fun. Okay, the first one, they're only like 8, but we don't have to do them all. What about yourself? So I'm just going to direct these to, like, you're going to answer about yourself. What about yourself as the most stranger unfamiliar? Just, like, off the top of your head. Like, what's the strangest thing about you?
Wow.
I can start with mine because I've been looking at these, so I know.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Mine is, like, you know how everybody says, like, they can have a whole conversation with themselves? Like, I really, like, hand on heart, can have, like, a whole conversation. I'd be, like, walking around college laughing to myself, and I'd be like, if anybody sees me, they're going to think I'm insane. Because I'll be like, da-da-da-da, and I'll be like, hee-hee, and, like, laughing about something, like, a conversation I'm having, or something I've read, or, like, replaying a TikTok in my head. And then I'm basically laughing like, that was so funny. And I, like, say it out loud. And I'm like, why would I do that?
That was too good.
Let's get the bill. Purr.
Shout out to Cleo Trapper. She's so funny. But, yeah, that's, like, the weirdest thing about me. Like, it's the sort of thing where I remember one time I was, like, maybe, like, 13. And I was, like, hoovering my room. And my dad was like, who are you talking to? And I was like, no. And he was like, you could have such conversations with yourself. I was like, yeah, like, that's just me, purr. But that's the weirdest thing about me, I think.
That's so funny and concerning.
Mine's kind of similar to MH. I think I have two. Okay, so one of them is that I can actually talk myself into or out of anything. So it could, like, be, it could make sense, and then I'll just, like, talk myself out of, like, I'm very good at debating with myself. So I just spend a day, like, debating with myself. And normally, I don't even know who wins because it's myself. It's just the path of least resistance.
It's giving me against me.
And another one is, I don't know, this sounds very narcissistic anytime I say it, but I actually find myself so entertaining. So, like, I have a YouTube channel, and, like, I'm, like, 4 vlogs behind that I need to edit. But I just watch the raw footage as, like, my entertainment. Like, I don't watch Netflix, I watch myself. I find myself so funny. But there's, like, so many edited bits that I, like, no one would get it. So I just watch those bits because I can't put them in a vlog because people will be like, this girl is a bit of a weirdo.
That's so random. I literally can't even think. I'm such a dodo bird. Like, while you guys were speaking, I was just listening, like, yeah, not thinking my own. What's yours? What do you think yours is, MH? I'm kind of scared.
Now. One is for you.
Oh, what it's, do you think mine is?
It's not anything that's so specific to you. It's just, like, you know that TikTok about the babe who was talking about how she does have certain behaviors that I can't even get this out without crying. The babe was talking about how you know what I'm talking about, the TikTok, the girl who was like, yeah,
the with the
the crooked thing. Guys, okay, I can't breathe. I think that's the weirdest thing. Like, Winifa just has very weird quirks that, like, you would never know unless you, like, literally have lived with her or, like, she tells you herself. Like, please explain it, Winifa, because I can't come and explain it now.
I just, like, I don't know. I just have... There's no way to say it without making it sound really bad. I just have particular quirks. Like an onion, I have many layers, and you have to... spend a lot of time peeling them back to understand my quirks. That's all I'm going to say before I block my own blessings and give someone the ick virtually.
Okay. Second thing, what would you splurge on? Like, what's anything that on any given day you'll drop, you'll go into your overdraft for, pull from your savings?
Clothes and enjoyment.
Enjoyment, I think, for me, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Usually clothes to wear at the enjoyment as well. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Because I just feel like you can't put a price on memories at the end of the day. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to remember that time where you were like, oh, okay, I was out of my overdraft. But you are going to remember that bomb thing that you went to with your friends.
It's true. It's true. When was the last time you felt lucky to be you? Like, you were like, wow, this is my life and I feel so blessed. Not all of us thinking like, ciao, tough times are lasting.
I was like, I think it might have been a Tuesday in 2014. No, I'm playing. Thank you, Jesus.
I think mine would be graduation last year.
Oh, that's lovely.
It was a really cute day. I really enjoyed it. But I don't know if I'll be like, I'm lucky to be me because I knew I was coming back to pain and hardship. but it was the fun. The day was fun.
Oh, that's lovely.
And actually, the whole of last summer when I was living with you guys, that was like a
That was a movie. That was a movie. Sometimes I forget that whole thing happened. And I'm like, no, we actually ate.
No, honestly, I would probably say my whole birth week last year. I don't know. I think always around the time of birthdays, because that's when people put extra effort into showing you that they love you. It's just kind of like, wow, I actually am really blessed. Like, I remember even just the day that I went to see Romeo and Juliet at the Globe and I met Alfie Enoch, and I was just like, wow, I just can't believe my brother and his friend just came here to watch a play with me. I was like, even though like that's my brother, like, why shouldn't he watch a play with me? But it felt so special. And yeah.
Oh, I love that. I think... the last time I felt super blessed to be me. I always feel super blessed when I'm like with my family or like there's a season like with my family or I've planned something with my friends and it's like, whether it's like a holiday or vacation or like an evening in or just something really like sweet and intimate. I'm just like, oh, I know the best people. Like, I'm super blessed. Right. Cause it's just the sort of thing where it's like with all the moving that I've done and like how dynamic my life can be sometimes to feel like I'm have home with specific people opposed to specific places is really sweet. The last time I felt that was probably like 2 weeks ago when we were at from Rose Hill. Well, one and a half weeks ago. That was lovely. Not even with people we've known for ages. It was just nice to be like, oh, this is my life. Like, I get to take a weekend out.
Do you know
and
what? You know that moment when we were like listening to Masego walking down the hill and the sun was just looking like she was on the tease of setting and I just thought, wow, like I'm actually just a grown-up living in London having a good time with my friends, like what? That's
for crazy sure. I love that. Anyway, that was lovely, guys. I hope you enjoyed that little surprise. What's it called? Icebreaker. My mind is so dead.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, I hope. Yeah,
we should really do definitely more of them questions next week.
Yeah, for sure. I've got them like saved, so I'll return to them.
Okay, so like I mentioned in the introduction, today we're going to be talking about holiness. So we got a question from one of our followers, like I said, who was basically asking, what actually is holiness? Is it still relevant? And basically, what does that look like? What does that mean for our lives? So, you know, we're all about being a bit scholarly here. Does anyone have the definition of like the Hebrew or the Greek word? I think that could be a good place to start.
Let me pull it up because I've got a Bible verse here, but I have not looked at the etymology. So I'm looking at 1 Peter.
Oh my gosh, Madre that's where mia. I went. 2:9.
No, 1:14.
Oh, that's something different.
Okay. That's a good verse, actually. I love that verse. 1 Peter. So my Blue Letter Bible here is giving me the Greek word hagnos. I might not be saying that correctly. And essentially the meaning is something that excites reverence, something that is venerable, that is sacred, that is pure, specifically pure, from every fault, immaculate. Some other things talk more about carnality, being chaste, modest. But essentially the idea that I'm getting from the 1 Peter 16 specifically is the idea of something being reverence, sacred. Sacred meaning set apart, pure. Have y'all got anything different?
No, just that I seem to recall a discussion that I had in a Bible study a while ago about the word like sacre, but I can't find a verse that references it. I'm just kind of this idea of being set apart for a particular purpose. So in light of that, what does being holy mean to you on an everyday level?
That's a big question. I think honestly, like this is just me opening the floor, I guess. I don't think I have, if I'm really honest with myself, I don't think I have a set idea of like, oh, this is what life looks like when I'm most holy. But I don't know, I feel like we shared before we started recording, holiness is, it's more an identity, really. Like, I don't know how to describe it, like the state of being holy, but not a state like how you could be happy or sad or content or, you know, anything else, something that you can oscillate or fluctuate in and out of, or oscillate between, or within, rather. But it's more like, yeah, a state of being so.
Like a condition.
Yeah, exactly. So it's more like, holiness, yes, what does that mean in my everyday, but what does that mean about the what does that mean about the way that my life is laid as a foundation? Like, what are the formative tenets of how I see my life and in the world and my relationship with God, and out of that my relationship with others? It's tricky. I don't know, what do you girls think?
I kind of like mentally guess see holiness in two lights. So like holiness from God, or holiness as who God is, and then holiness as what we're called to be as well. I listened to the Bible Project, and one of the things they were talking about holiness was they used like a really helpful analogy that God is holy, and they described God as like the sun, and the sun is pure, like God is pure love and is pure holiness, and everything around and surrounding the sun is hot, just like everything surrounding God and that's close to God should be holy as well. And then as you get closer to the sun, you, because of the intensity, then you should get more holy. So as we get closer to God, we should get more holy as well. But then just as the hotness of the sun can be dangerous, if you get too close and you're not like fully prepared, like humans can't really get close to the sun, but like if you don't have the insulation and stuff, it can be quite not dangerous in a bad way, but like if you're not fully like mentally, spiritually, I guess, equipped or in the right standing of God, it can be quite not like a dangerous place, but yeah, kind of in terms of getting close to God, not being able to fully understand and grasp his full nature if you're not mentally and like spiritually in the right standing. And I think one of the examples they mentioned was Moses, when the burning bush, and then he had to take his shoes off and he couldn't get like fully close to the bush because he would have been consumed. But I think it's always reminding me of, as much as God is like our father and we can get close to him and all of that, which is like 100% the truth, God is also like reverent, and we should remember his nature in that case as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I definitely agree with that, only with the caveat that it's not a case of that you have to like make yourself holy or perform holiness to come into the presence of God. Like, our holiness comes directly from God, and he's like inviting us to be renewed by him. And I think what it is kind of like kind of beholding the glory of God when you are not in a condition where you want to can be too intense. And I think that's what it was. That's why Moses had to like take off his shoes, whatever. But it's kind of like God told him what he needed to do. God told him to take off his shoes in readiness for the for entering into his presence. So I think holiness, because I think often when we talk about holiness, because it sounds so mystic and like just it sounds like a synonym for perfection, we think that it's something that we can't attain. And so I think it's something that kind of scared me, like, gosh, like, I'm not a holy person, I'll never live a holy life. But for me, holiness, if holiness is being set apart for a purpose, and that purpose is to love God, to be loved by God, it's kind of like all I need to do is to draw near to him and like be receptive. But yeah, I was gonna go to 1 Peter 2 verse 9, which is quite a famous verse, and it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light."
Yeah.
And then verse 10, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy." So I think that, yeah, again, highlights that it's something that God is calling us into, which is so important, because I think without that, we can think it's something that we can't do in ourselves.
Yeah.
But then also from verses 11 of that same chapter, it goes on to talking about the heading of the next part is living godly lives in a pagan society. And that's why I think the whole like set apart can take on a different meaning, not just being set apart for a purpose, but kind of being set apart in the sense that you don't necessarily look and act and feel and do as the world does. And I think for me, that's the part which is, it's almost trickier to navigate, because I think it requires a real boldness, and I think it requires a lack of fear that, if I'm being so honest, sometimes I don't have.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. We appreciate you sharing that. I think I'm in the same place, but I think in a slightly different, on a slightly different spectrum. Like, I think I have, in my own personal life, I have an idea of like, oh, these are things that I don't engage in because I feel like this is what holiness means when it's like manifested in my own life, like certain behaviors that I do or things that I don't do. But then, you know, sometimes when you hear people's, not people, maybe your pastor or an Instagram or whatever person share about like how holiness means like you're set apart, everybody should be able to look at you and see that you're different. And I'm like, well, I wear the same Zara clothes as the next girl, and I like to do my makeup and wear my nails. Like, you know what I mean? Like, right, how am I going to look different? Like, Jesus was just wearing his cute little clothes, you know, his little whatever he was wearing. And it's like, how did he look different? Of course, he was the Son of God, so his face probably shone like the sun and all of that. But it's like, sometimes I struggle with that, because it's like, and it's not a question of modesty or immodesty. I mean, there's definitely room for that discussion, but more just like, well, what does it actually mean for me to be set apart?
How does that manifest?
Yeah, because like, you know, we all know people who are like super, super nice, like not even trying to be reductive, but you know, like you meet somebody who's super nice, and you'll be like, oh, like if you're gonna think about a nice person, you're like, that is them. But it's not because they're religious, they just happen to be super nice. And so it's just like, I'm trying to see like, how do we gauge what, like, how does, in my own life, how do I gauge what being set apart means in terms of like how I interact with other people and how they perceive me? Because there are a lot of people who are just probably, maybe not a lot, but there are a number of people who are probably just really cool or really nice or understanding or whatever, and portray the attributes of like someone who is basically they demonstrate fruit of the spirit, even if they don't understand that's what it is.
Is what that is.
But it's like, okay, so apart from that, what is the physical manifestation of holiness?
And that maybe then it's not so much about the physical manifestation as like the inward working that's happening, because like you said, there's people that have the fruits of the spirit that don't even know necessarily that that's God working in them. And equally, I think it can be easy to kind of feign or perform holiness by, for example, like I dress like this, I do this, I serve like this in church. And you can really just be going through the motions.
Mm, for sure.
But internally, like, you're not in line with the purpose of the Father. You could be doing it for all sorts of selfish reasons. And so I think maybe we always look at it from the external POV, which is kind of what I jumped to, like, oh, well, you know, being different or being set apart. But maybe it begins with this internal...
A heart condition, yeah.
Right, mm. right.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because I guess, like, when your heart is different, even if you look the same, you are different. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's like, even if you're in the same context or situations as other people, or you are navigating similar, whether it's, like, your professional friendship or whatever it is, the way that you respond to things or the way that your perspective on things, even if your knee-jerk reaction is to respond in a specific way, because you're in relationship with the Holy Spirit, because your heart, your spirit is set apart, is holy, then you have the scope to behave or to see the world exactly differently, which is something I hadn't thought of before. So thank you for sharing that.
No, I love that. I love that.
I think another one of the questions that the girl asked is holiness outdated? Or is it like an outdated concept?
I think the clear answer is no, based off of our conversation.
Right.
I think it's also, because it can be like a toss-up. It's like holiness is very much associated with like the Old Testament, where I guess they had to prove themselves a lot. Like they'll have to like wash, like sacrifice the lambs to, I guess, get that sanctity back. And because Jesus atoned for our sins, we don't have to do that anymore. I guess it's like what we mentioned before about like the balance of like works and the heart posture, because the heart posture is definitely what matters at the end of it.
I was gonna say something, but
more you're thinking, I was gonna say something. Is that cool?
But my thought, my point would maybe take us down a tangent that I wasn't sure if it would be helpful.
What were you going to say in any case?
All I was going to say is kind of, it was based off what Anfe said about the Old Testament and like how we might associate holy with doing things. And I feel like even then, what was supposed to set the Israelites apart wasn't the actual performing of the rites. I think it was trusting that what God has told you to do is the best thing for your life. And so I think it was the ultimate, it was still the heart part, but because it's kind of like killing the goat doesn't mean anything if you don't believe that that's actually what God has said can do, atone for your sins. And so I still think, because God doesn't change, like his methods don't change. And I would actually love for us to do an episode about this, because I think a lot of people still view God as kind of like, oh, so something happened in them years in between and he really changed. You know what I mean, between the OT and the NT. But I think holiness has always been about an inward change that leads to an outward physical response, whether that's killing a goat in them days, whether today that means not doing drugs, you know what I mean? It all begins with the inward change.
I love what you both have said about like the Old Testament and how I think that's, at least for me, I totally get what the person meant, why the question of is holiness outdated. Because when you think of the Old Testament, you think about the ceremony and the ritual and the, you can't do this, and you got to spend 7 days here, and you got to check if you have this condition, and you can't, you know, all this, the ceremony, which had its purpose, but that feels so out of touch for us. So I guess it's difficult to imagine holiness in any other context when it's just like, well, I just wake up and speak to my Father and go on my way. You know, there's none of that ritual that is involved. But I was just looking at my bookmarks, and there's a verse in Hebrews 11. It's 11:39, and it's talking about basically how
chapter.
Hebrews is a book, if there was ever one in the scripture. It's this one. The writer's essentially talking about how there were a whole bunch of people in like the Old Testament and all these like people of the faith who went through so much, but they conclude this chapter saying, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. So by these people, they're referring to people like Gideon, Samson, David, Samuel, Abraham, the prophets, all of these. Mm-hmm. But they said, yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. And that something better in mind is ultimately salvation, right? And salvation is about a heart condition, as we've been saying, than anything else. Like that's what it is. Is if how does the scripture go? If you say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you're saved. So it really is a heart condition. And in Hosea 6:6, I love this verse so much. And Jesus quotes it in Matthew 9, I just checked, about how even God in the Old Testament was telling the Israelite people, I desire mercy. Again, mercy being a heart condition, not sacrifices. Right. And so, yeah, I think I feel like in one regard, it's cool to be like, yeah, holiness is a heart condition. But in another regard, it's sort of a little more gripping. Like, it's a bit more like in your face. Cause like, as we mentioned last week, we can perform holiness. Like, I know how to perform it down.
If y'all need some lessons.
We could perform it down. Like, hello, I know how to serve in church. I am a church girl. Like, no, but on a serious note. Yeah. So to think about it, like, oh, Father, what's the state of my heart? And as we talked about last week in terms of like conflicts, and overcoming things like that, because you know there have been times even recently where I'm like, yeah, I'm totally cool with this, like whatever, and then I'm calling my mom still mad about the same thing, or like bickering about the same thing, or bitter about the same thing. And it's like, intellectually I'm like, yeah, I'm cool, and I'm performing the fact that like I'm fine, or I'm not bitter, or I'm not upset, or I'm not angry, but the actual condition of my heart is like, oh no, heads must roll, because this is an issue. And it's like, well, I know how to perform holiness outwardly, but actually, what's the condition of my heart? Again, a drag, but alas.
I'm being called out my name as we speak. if you guys don't hear from me in 2 to 4 weeks, but like, in light of that, what do you guys then think is the relationship between kind of like understanding that holiness is a heart condition versus this idea that kind of like, I guess, I don't know, I guess I'm trying to get at the whole, like, faith versus works type beat, but in relation to holiness, you know what I'm saying? It's like, how do we navigate that? Because obviously, like, if your heart is set apart, then your action should follow, but is that always the case? And if I feel that I'm holy internally and my actions aren't adding up, what of me? Am I truly saved?
I feel like it would be difficult if your heart was holy for your actions not to follow suit. Just because, yes, it's easier for you to just, I guess, once the heart is like fixed, or once the heart is like focused in that way, it's easier for your actions to, I guess, represent that.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like for people who are definitely like raised in the church, and like things become a pattern and it's a habit, so like you can do things without thinking about it. Like you can serve in church, you can sing all the songs, you have phrases to say, you can pray for 30 minutes and your heart not even be in it at all, you just know the phrases.
For real.
So I definitely agree with what Mary Hannah said, like, earlier, that even though it is a heart condition, like even in that case it's even harder because you have to continue to check yourself. Make sure your heart's in the right place. And that didn't answer your question. Let me think of it.
Can you recap your question, Ham, please?
My question is, how do we understand the dynamic between the internal and the external?
And the basically? External. Oh, yeah. I totally want to hop on what Amfa said, because that is like, oh, gosh. That's just like this. That was the story of my life, like 2019. Like, I know what God has told me in my heart, but I'm not listening. So it's like, for me, y'all, it's a sort of thing where I think I've come to realize that I'm a very sensitive person holistically. So like, emotionally I'm sensitive, mentally I'm sensitive, but also spiritually insensitive, which is a blessing. But it means that like, if God has told me something once, like until that action is realized, I literally cannot sleep. Like, I literally, like, my life is in turmoil. And sometimes it's like, okay, this is a bit much. But actually, I think not even in a sense of holiness, I think that has taught me to recognize, like, oh, okay, like, when God has put something in my heart, like, I've got to recognize that this is a conviction that he's given me. So this is an outworking of holiness. Mm. And so for me to try to live outside of that is going to literally just, even if, like, my life is going okay, yeah, it's like, within my own person, I'm going to feel destabilized. And I think that's the sort of thing that comes, like, when we are in regular communication or communion with God, and not even regular in terms of like being in your Bible every day, just having an understanding of God and like being cognizant of God and making that as much a priority in your life as you can. But in answering your question in terms of like, how do we find that balance? I think first we got to remember that, like, as Winipa, you said, holiness is not synonymous with perfection. And it's a state. And so I think, like, it's like, if you make a mistake, that's just a mistake and you made it, and that's in that moment. But I think if it's a pattern, then you can recognize that this is something. Sorry, when you put space just then you can recognize that it is something that it's like, oh, okay. Holiness ain't quite reached this part of my heart quite yet, you know, and I'm not trying to compartmentalize our lives. That's not what I'm trying to say. But at least I think for me, there's some things that I'm like, oh, I know if God tells me to do this, like, that's hard and fast. That's in cement. That's rock solid, like, period. You can't. I won't waver in that. But some other things I'm like, I'll toe the line, you know. <What's
Yeesh. gonna? laughs> Anyways, guys, that brings us to the end.
Oh, no, we just gotta be honest. I just want to be honest.
No, it's so true.
So I think it's more a thing about habit. Because habits really are like, what does scripture say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So if you have a specific manner of speaking, a specific manner, or if I have a specific manner of speaking or doing habitually that is contrary to what I know, what I believe God to have instructed me to do, then well.
That indicates an issue with the source.
The arts. Mi corazón. Sí. Madre mía.
The other thing, like, I have been thinking about as well is because, you know, while we've been talking about this, it's really just occurred to me that I don't think in ourselves we have the propensity to be in a constant state of holiness. Even though we talked about it as being a condition, I think it's a condition that can only be attained when you're actually connected to the one who is constantly holy. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's kind of like, I don't know if I have said this on the podcast before, but while I was studying for my exams, I spilt water on my laptop. So now it only works if it's actually plugged into the main supply. Do you know what I mean? And as soon as I unplug it, everything scattered, lecture finished, work patterned. I feel the same way. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but I think, because I can think of times in my life where it's kind of like, yeah, like, I was kind of holy back then. And maybe now not so much, and it dips and waves. So I feel like there has to be something about maintaining that, you know?
I think I can't find the verse I was looking for. I don't think we reach the culmination of holiness until we're a celestial body.
Yeah.
Upon the sky with our Lord and Savior. However, yeah, that's a really interesting way of thinking about it. So, like, how do we understand holiness and interact with that? Or we are but humans on earth. I don't know, child. I feel like holiness is not something you can patent in one night or one episode. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to learn more and more and more about it. And as I am for shared in the beginning with that wonderful analogy from the Bible Project, like, the closer you draw to God, and the more that we mature, the more we recognize, like, the parameters of holiness. And not, like, in terms of, like, fencing somebody in or making you feel restricted. But just, like, as Winipa said just now, like, what you understood to be, like, oh, yeah, this is me obeying God 6 months ago or 2 years ago, or how you interacted with a specific decision or revelation is not necessarily how you're going to react or respond to it today. And that's okay. I think there's space for growth even within holiness, at least growth and wisdom. Even within holiness. Well, everyone, we hope you have enjoyed that episode. It was a bit all over the place, a little like we're sharing our hearts, but we're also trying to figure it out with you guys too. Keep us in your prayers. No, but really, thank you for sending in those questions. And we are seeing the questions, y'all. We are really seeing them. We are just wanting to make sure we are in the right frame of mind and have enough time to answer things. On the note of questions that we have received, we've got a lot of stuff, a lot of requests to talk about sexual purity. We've done like 2.5 or 1.5 episodes around sexual purity, purity, what it means. Please check out episode 23 entitled Jeet and Skeet? And maybe our other one from season one about modesty. I think that'll really hopefully answer the questions we've received on that. And then someone asked a specific question about if God is love, why do innocent people die? Again, wonderful question. I think we began to unpack that a little bit in episode 37, which has a similar title, If God is Real, Why Do Innocent Children Die? So just a bit of housekeeping for people who have done that. But as usual, y'all, thank you so much for listening. We hope this conversation blessed you. Please interact with our poll and our Q&A below and let us know what you think about holiness and just the way you interact with it and if you think it's outdated and, you know, different revelations you've had. As usual, please follow us on our social media pages. We are everywhere that the people reside. So that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the podcast streaming platforms, I believe, we're on there. So share this with a friend and with a friend. Thank you for all the lovely reviews and the messages. We really appreciate y'all. Again, thank you so much for 25,000 on Spotify. It's a blessing. We love you, LGP family. And again, if you have any more questions, please head over to our Google Anonymous submissions form. And we will see you all next week. Love you lots. Bye.